Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting, one show at a time.
You are about to enter the dirty stalls of It Burns When I Pee. This podcast is for mature audiences only. The views and opinions expressed on this show are usually rude, crude, and offensive, and should not be associated with our guests and sponsors in any way. Please proceed to the first available stall and prepare for takeoff.
Welcome, everyone, to another gripping episode of It Burns When I Pee, the number one podcast for roots music, adult comedy, and interviews. The podcasting god, Blake Clayton, along with his revolving group of co-hosts, are preparing for launch. Please adjust your volume, remove all morals and values, and prepare yourself for what we like to call auditory dysentery. We go live in
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Ignition.
Mission control to podcasting god, you are clear to proceed. I repeat, you are clear to proceed.
Teeth are falling out while she's singing in her sleep. Doesn't matter where she's been, as long as she come back to me. I don't really wanna go. I wish that I could find my way. I wish that I could find my home. So if you hold my hands whenever they ain't steady, I will carry your load whenever shit gets heavy.
Thank you. right, folks, welcome back to another episode of IBWIP, episode 152, and we have with us, representing an amazing band, Bobby Fitzgerald from Whiskey Shivers. How are you, sir?
Great. How are you doing?
Doing great. It's awesome to have you guys on. We just got done hearing Angels in the Snow, which is off your new album, which we're going to talk about. It's a pleasure to have you on the show. You're representing the whole band, so.
Oh, boy. Okay.
So, We have Bobby. You play the fiddle, the harmonica, and vocals. Mm-hmm. And then we have Andrew, who does the upright bass and plays vocals.
That's right.
Jeff plays guitar and vocals.
Yeah.
And James, who plays the banjo and vocals, and then Joe with the washboard and vocals.
That's right.
Everybody contributes to singing, right?
Oh, yeah. We've got to work.
So the band is from Texas. You have a very diverse group of guys in the band. How did you guys come together?
Well, we all ended up moving down to Austin roughly around the same time, give or take a year or so on a couple members. And Andrew and I, the bass player, first met through Craigslist, actually. He had put up an article about looking for a band, saying he was not only an upright bass player, but the best upright bass player. It was just a really great post, hilarious. So I responded, and I guess I sounded like an old man via text. So he was surprised when I showed up and the same age. We ended up jamming out, and met up with another guitar player, Dave, for a while, and another banjo player, Evan. Both of them found other things that they had to leave the band to go take care of. And finally, we've ended up with myself, Joe, James, Freddie, and Andrew. It's just kind of a serendipitous meeting. We're all looking for the same kind of thing, I guess, and happened to find each other at the right time, and things have really just been so much fun ever since.
Awesome. Yeah, I saw you guys play for the first time in Madison, Wisconsin earlier this year when you were opening for Scott H. Byram. Have you guys noticed, have you guys had a positive feedback, and have you noticed the fan base growing after the result of that tour?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, getting to play with Scott and with Larry and his Flask, it was huge for us. Getting the chance to meet, not only just to be able to like spend so much time with such incredible musicians like the guys in Larry and his Flask and Scott, that alone was just huge for us. Really had to kind of step our game up a little bit and realized the level of excellence that was being brought by everybody else, and getting the chance to have that amped up show where you're just really excited and you're pretty scared, but you can do it, and getting to be in front of people that are there to have a good time.
Right.
That's another great thing about, people that go to Scott's shows and Flask boys, they're all just there to enjoy themselves. And that tends to be a crowd that we mesh well with. It was a blast. I can meet so many cool people. You got to play for a lot of people that I really respect.
Cool. So. How did you guys get involved with that tour?
Scott's from right around here in San Marcos, so he's always been around. And to be honest with you, I'm not sure how exactly the tour got together, but it was a wonderful surprise. I didn't realize the magnitude of what was going to be happening on the road there, being put into that situation and being able to be a part of it. That was just huge, like I said, for us.
Was that one of your guys' biggest, tours you guys have done as a band?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one was huge. We got to play Stagecoach not too long ago, Stagecoach Fest out in Indio, California. And that was probably the biggest show that we've played. That was a mind-blowing time as well.
So being a band from Texas, Texas is a huge state. How difficult is it for a band to kind of continue to grow and get out of Texas? You start small, but most states you start small and kind of work around, and all of a sudden you're in different states. But Texas, what's the experience like for a band starting out and trying to branch out?
Well, it is funny. It can be kind of an epicenter around here that just is hard to pull away from. And you can absolutely just spend your the entirety of your career as a band at Only Touring Texas and have a wonderful time and be greatly successful. But it's something that we just didn't really, really wanted to do particularly. We wanted to get out and move around as much as we could. And so even back at the beginning when it was just Andrew, Horty and I, and we would rent a van and just ended up going out. Andrew's from actually outside of Portland, Oregon. And so we ended up heading out that way. We went up to California, saw a friend of ours up there. It was kind of an excuse to have a road trip, you know?
Right.
And but we were able to branch out. And even when as a three-piece, we just found a lot of encouragement, a lot of people accepting, you know, of what we're doing out there. So it was easy to kind of get really stoked about coming back again and just make sure that that happens, you know?
Right.
Yeah, it's just always kind of been a drive for us, I think. A chance to get out on the road and see as much stuff as we can and get to play music while we're doing it.
Exactly.
Just, you can't not take advantage of that.
So perfect. When you have the band all crammed into a van, you drive for hours to one gig set up, and then you play the set. What do you guys do during your downtime?
Well, it doesn't really seem like there's ever all that much downtime. There's a lot of driving. And when we do end up getting a place, we've been able to, we try really hard to at least see one, you know, if we're near some state park. Sorry about that. I'm going to circle this one call. We're able to go through a couple of state parks along the way and, you know, take an hour or two, an hour there, and see some beautiful stuff around the country. But more often than not, we get to somewhere and try to sleep a little bit or walk around the parking lot, play with a bouncy ball. Smoke too many cigarettes and just kind of wait.
Right. Well, the new album is the self-entitled Whiskey Shivers, and it comes out on September 23rd. For fans that know of Whiskey Shivers, and also fans that, you know, maybe hearing them for the first time, hearing you guys for the first time, what can they expect from this album?
Well, we put a lot of time and a lot of effort into trying to make this most representative of the live shows, trying to get that feel to come across. It's been we've been chasing after with the last couple of recordings. It's hard to convey that same feeling that happens at the live show,
right,
onto a CD. And so we put a lot of time, and Robert Ellis, our producer, and Steve Christensen, our engineer, they were working so much magic, I couldn't even begin to tell you the things that they were able to do to pull out this sound. Robert told us too that, you know, we're here to make an album, not a recording.
Right.
You know, a record, not a recording. And so that mindset from the very beginning. There's a lot of tracks, a few tracks on here that I think are really representative of an early version of us and of the drive that we all work with. It's just like super high energy and really fun, kind of lighthearted, easygoing music, just about forgetting your troubles and having a blast.
Right.
And then there's some other ones that end up getting a little bit more, singer-songwriting and a little more thoughtful, maybe. Show our sensitive side. So it's kind of, you know, running the gamut with this one, I think. It's kind of got a little bit of everything, and we've all got songs all five of us wrote, different ones on there, so that's, you know, you can hear each voice kind of come through a little bit more. And I'm really excited. I think it's going to be a great representation of a lot of what we have to offer.
Yeah, and it's a really good album, and when you guys are live, you can tell you're having a good time, and that's kind of important for fans to absorb what you're doing is when they're seeing you're having a good time. You guys were having a blast in Wisconsin, so.
Oh, yeah.
So you said that, you know, everybody kind of plays a role in singing and songwriting. How do you guys go about, you know, if everybody's bringing songs to the table, how do you sift through and decide which songs are going to be ones that you're going to pursue further?
I think a lot of times they kind of sort themselves out. There's songs that we'll start working on. Somebody will bring a few verses to the table or an idea for a melody or some half-written piece and be like, okay, well, you know, here's what I've got. What can we do with it? Here's the pieces. Let's try to make something. And, you know, sometimes it works and sometimes it's just not the right time for it yet. And the song will tell you. And when you're just kind of struggling, working through it, and it's just not clicking, it's just not time for it. And but then there's other songs that within the first 10 minutes, you can tell, like, okay, this just feels good. Like, this one will be on there.
Awesome. Because, when you have that many people you know, contributing, I can see where at times it'd be kind of like, oh, there's so many songs here, and which ones do you pick, and you know, who has a little issue with not getting a song picked or whatever. So I can see where that would be a touchy place to go at times, unless you guys have got a really good relationships.
Oh, sure. That's that's definitely a trouble zone, you know, could be potentially. But I think, yeah, we all are tight enough. We're a family is the thing. We're not really friends anymore. We're brothers. Hmm. So it's okay to get really angry because you know that you love each other and still going to be there. You fucking suck right now, but
right.
Come on. Or I fucking suck. Like, we're going to take turns on the road day to day. You just kind of pick somebody else to hate.
Right.
Random. Pick the guys. And all right, man. Sorry, James. It's your day to day. Nothing personal, you know. Right. I'll take mine tomorrow. How about that?
So you play fiddle, harmonica, and sing in the band. How old were you when you first started playing the fiddle?
I was probably 11 or 12.
And how did you come about picking up that instrument?
It actually we were on a family vacation, and my dad, sister, and mom and I all went out and saving up for this big trip to Ireland to go around and like see the old ancestry stuff. And it was on that trip that we stayed in this little town and ended up being recommended to go to this pub. I also played bagpipes, and so I had my pipes and was playing for our host, and it's like, oh, you got to go down to this pub and check it out. There's some live music later. You're going to love it. Yeah. All right. So we go down, mom and I do. And we're sitting around waiting. Nothing's really happening. And it's a cool spot. And like, it's, you know, everything you want a little pub in a little town in Ireland to be. But other than that, there's no great live music. And then all of a sudden, this row of people come in, and they all have instrument cases, say hello, and they go straight to the back room. And so we follow them back there. We sit down, and they're setting up, opening the cases, tuning, visiting. And they start playing, and it just ignites. Like, it's just an explosion. And these people, like, show up that, I don't know if they were hiding in the corners, or all of them were piled in the bathroom or something. They come rushing out onto the floor and just start dancing. The whole room is full of these people doing a giant Kaylee dance, like, swinging in and out with each other, and the music is just filling the space, and they're just tearing through, and it's just incredible. It blows you away. So they finish up the first, you know, first little set, and I run off and buy a round of beer and come back and introduce myself, and they're all so friendly, and I've got this little kind of indoor set of bagpipes with me, and invite me to sit down. I play with them. I'm absolutely terrible at the time, and 11 or however old I was sitting there, but they're super kind, and they play along with me, and then they kind of pick the tune up and keep walking away with it and just turn it into another one of these, like, explosive, high-energy, super light-filled sessions. And the fiddle player that night was just incredible. Like, I was just captivated, and it was so fun. Just like, that was so much fun. I just want to do that.
Right.
I love that sound, you know? And so my mom's there, and she's going to take a picture, and this guy steps up in front of her, and he's like, no, I'm sorry, excuse me, but no pictures allowed, thank you. She's like, what are you talking about? I'm on vacation in Ireland with my son, and he's playing music with the band in the pub. I'm going to take a picture.
Right.
And the guy's like, okay, well, if it's for your personal use, that's fine. But we just don't really like to get it out. These would be some of the guys from the Chieftains who like to come and just take it easy and relax and jam here. She's like, oh, my God, Chieftains. Jesus Christ. Like, oh, jeez. So I went out the next day and spent all the money I'd saved up on a little fiddle from a pawn shop and brought it home. And a neighbor of ours, Roy Letier, from Dundee, where I'm from in upstate New York, and a dairy farmer and a fiddle player, farmer. And so I went over and started meeting with him once a week. And we'd jam in his kitchen, and he'd play guitar and show me songs. We'd play fiddle together. That was just, those nights over at his house were some of the best times of my life.
Awesome.
Sit down picking with him. Yeah. Learning all the old country western song.
So you had to go all the way over to Scotland to decide that the fiddle was for you.
Yep, that's how it worked out, I guess.
So one of the things that I noticed when you guys were in Wisconsin is you came up on stage. And let me tell you, man, you are sporting business in the front, party in the back, mullet with the Burt Reynolds mustache, man. It was super awesome. And
oh, geez, you're making me blush.
Oh, dude, that was it was so awesome. And so, how is that for picking up the ladies? Because I think we need to bring it back.
Well, you know, I can't recommend it enough. It's you know, it's the spirit of the mullet finds you and just let it take you away. You know, don't fight it.
No, that's awesome. But it just was one of those things that helped add, you know, you guys were having a good time and you were there to play music and you really liked what you guys were doing. And that was like, I was blown away. We watched your guys' set and I, you know, to be honest, I had never heard you guys before. And when you guys, you know, ripped into the first couple songs, I'm like, hell yeah. You know, so it was super cool. And I don't remember what it was, but you guys were throwing out like plastic.
Yeah, that's, I forgot about that. We went to breakfast that morning and in this diner and they just had one of those quarter machines.
Yeah.
These little plastic duck heads and those little noisemakers, you know, you blow in and quack. And so we ended up getting the waitress to bring me all the extras they had. And we bought like every one of them.
Nice.
And brought them to the show. It's just, you know, it's just kind of a one-time, just random idea. Like, this would be hilarious if throw these out at some point.
Right.
Threw them out and they ended up, Andrew tossed them, I think, and ended up being perfect time in the set. Just hadn't even thought about it, but it worked out great because it was right before Angel.
Yep.
And which has the whistle part in it.
Yep.
So with the crowd all having the duck blowers and singing along to that whistle part was just, I had to stop. I couldn't even play. I was laughing so hard. It was so perfect. it was hilarious. And that's really what it's all about. Like, you see, you had a good time. Like, you're having a good time. And that's the only reason we're doing any of this is because it's so much fucking fun.
Right on.
And to be honest, it's totally selfish. I'm up there and I'm just doing it for myself, you know?
Right.
I think we all kind of are. That's why you're there, you know, to have a good time.
The
best way to have time is to play with other people.
Right. And there's that sense to be a musician. I think you have to have that little sense of narcissism in you, you know? In a way.
That makes me feel good, you know, to do it. And
right.
It makes me feel good to know that it's maybe making other people feel good, too.
Right on.
And that's, I mean, yeah, we're all there to help each other.
So the album, the self-titled album, Whiskey Shivers, comes out on September 23rd. Where do folks go to get their hands on the album?
Well, you can go to our website, whiskeyshivers.com, or you can find it on iTunes. And at the shows, of course, we'll be there. And it'll be, I don't know if we got it on Amazon or anything like that. But, you know, it'll be all across the interwebs. And you can buy it online, get some digital downloads, or get the CDs or the vinyls.
Oh.
The vinyls at the shows, and we can ship them to you. They'll be coming out a little bit after the actual release, I think. But if you put in your order, we'll be sure and get one to you.
Right on.
I was just listening to the test pressing yesterday, and it's really good.
Vinyl is always it's always a different experience. You know, it really is. I mean, you can listen to MP3s, you can listen to tapes, but when you play a vinyl, there's a whole different element that makes some songs sound completely different.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it really changed it. I like it a lot.
So, do you guys have any plans to do a tour to promote the album?
Yeah, we'll be taking off on September 1st, heading out with the Legendary Shack Shakers.
Oh, right.
We're able to run, and we're going to be on the road pretty much from September 1st until the end of October. We'll be back in Austin on the 26th for our for a CD release party here. And, but we're going to be traveling around and trying to push this as much as we can.
Awesome.
And I know we've got more stuff coming up down the road after October, too. I don't know how much of it's settled yet. So.
And
I'm really excited. We're going to be really busy with it, but I'm really looking forward to it.
It is a really good album. It's definitely a great album. Like I said, it's got the songs that make you just want to hang out and have a good time. It has some
you have a favorite?
Some deep song. I would say Angel in the Snow is my favorite. That's just me.
Nice. That's a good one.
And maybe it was the ducks. Maybe it was the ducks that maybe that's what set it off. But the whole album's really awesome. And you guys have some other albums that you have available. Can they get those at the website as well?
That's right, yeah. We'll have Batholith and Ramp Ahead. We'll have those at the shows and online and at our website, too.
Awesome. Well, we're going to play another song from the new album, Friends, and then we're going to go back a little bit and play one of your guys' older tunes, Darling, as well. So Bobby, thank you very much. Congratulations
thank
on the
you.
New album, man. It's really
I
killer.
I really appreciate it.
And next time I come and see you, I'll bring you guys some ducks.
Please do. I'll be expecting an actual duck.
Right. Like, shit, we don't have room in the van for this.
We'll figure it out. We'll make it work.
There you go. All right, Bobby, thanks a lot. I appreciate the time.
Thank you. Can't wait to see you again.
Scene. Trying to remember seems like fragments of a dream. Good times come and then they go, they all roll into one. Seems all I can remember is we've been having lots of fun. All friends,
all friends,
all friends,
all friends.
Good times come, they're gone again. All friends,
all friends,
all friends,
all friends.
On. The ever-changing, harder to keep track of everyone. Where have all the good times gone? It hasn't been so long. All the little things between are sure to carry on. All friends,
all friends,
all friends,
all friends.
Good times come, they're gone again. All friends,
all friends.
tonight we'll be a woman and man, then see the morning come. I was sitting in the house waiting by the boy.
Are you a blogger or a podcaster, or you're just not happy with your web hosts? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs with a free site builder, and the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use the special coupon code Section 8686, you'll save 25% off your web hosting packages. What do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs.